Yesterday afternoon, we were having a good discussion about the movies that traumatized us as kids. Yes. We want to continue this because it's an absolute cracker. 13, 20, 7, 10. That movie that really, really scared the living giblets out of you.
Now, for you, it was what movie?
It was The Exorcist.
That's right, because I remember you were telling me you snuck into the cinema and the usher came down at a pivotal moment of the show.
Yeah.
Hand on the shoulder, crapped your dacks.
Yeah, literally. And then they decided to make out a director's cut a number of years back later. And everyone said, let's go out and see it. No way in the world.
Do you remember the movie that Michael Jackson did, the thriller movie?
Oh, it was a movie clip.
Yeah, it was
a film clip, video clip type of thing. Yeah, it went for about 15 minutes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right at the end.
No, still, yeah, when they all turned into zombies. Okay, I can watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And that's still, you know, those zombies are like, I'm into zombie movies and that sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
But put that film on, I will turn it off. I will not watch that. The makeup has come so far since the Michael Jackson film clip of Thriller.
Yeah.
But that one there... As a child, my mum tortured me as a kid because she loved Michael Jackson. She put on, you're watching it. I don't want to watch it. You're watching it. So I remember watching it and just traumatized the wazoo now.
I can see right at the end of it where he's got those cat's eyes.
Yeah.
He turns around after everything goes back to normal and the evil laugh.
Yeah, it's no.
And he turns around with those yellow cat's eyes. Ooh.
So now when I hear that song,
yeah,
Thriller, is a great song as it is, I always turn the radio down. Always. Right. That's exactly why I do it, because that movie, that clip traumatized me as a kid.
Look,
absolutely.
It doesn't have to be a horror flick, okay? 13, 27, 10 could be a comedy that was absolutely so woeful it traumatized you as a kid.
Anything that Jim Carrey appeared in, really.
Maybe your dad just played it ad nauseum, okay? It could be Blazing Saddles. And your dad just kept going on and on and on about it, and it's just traumatized you.
700 people are commenting on our Facebook page at the moment. There's a lot of, like, The Exorcist in there. A lot of those sort of, the Blair Witch Project getting quite a few gongs as well.
The Ring was a tough one to look at, too.
Oh, that's hard, that one.
That just, oh, man, no way. And they made a number two of it as well. Why would you do that?
And then when your TV goes to the white fuzzy background, what is that called?
The white fuzzy background, white noise.
Yeah, well, yeah, when it's got to, like, there's no reception, everyone, like, looks away from the screen. Don't look at it in case it's The Ring. You can let us know what's coming up around the region too. We're always looking for local events for our top 10 things to do.
Look, yesterday we were having a nice old chat about those movies that just terrified you as children, you know? The Exorcist for me. What was it for you again?
Mine was a thriller film clip.
Yeah, that's right. And that classifies as a film clip too. But what is it for you? 13, 27, 10. Mm. Sean, mate, what was it for you?
Not really as a kid now. It's the Saw trilogy.
Oh.
They're actually really bad.
They really freak me out, them ones.
They, you know, and the thing with those movies as well is, like, it's not like a blood and guts kind of thing. It's more of a what's going to happen.
That's right, yeah. More torture and it's not good.
Not good at all. Thank you for the call, Emma. I appreciate that one. Also, what was that movie called where the guy sees a plane crashing before it crashes?
Oh, no. I have no idea.
Man, that did my head in, that one.
Yeah. Sam, what was the movie that traumatized you as a kid?
American Werewolf in London.
Oh, hey. Why?
Well, I don't know. For years up until I was really an adult, I slept with my sheets up around my neck.
So, movies, they can traumatise you. Final Destination is one I was just talking about as well, which is the scary one.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, Dave in Laguna Keys, mate, I'm sure you've got a couple of movies that traumatised you as a kid, right?
Only one, mate. I think they made two of them, I'm not sure. Jaws.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Got me, mate, yeah. No, I was I'm retired now. I've called you a few times.
Yeah.
I'm retired military, and I was Special Forces for a long time, and every time I went into the water, mate, I didn't think I was coming back, not because of combat, but because of whoever was swimming up behind me.
I'm with you. I think a lot of people are in the same boat as you there, Dave.
What about It for you? By
clowns,
Stephen King, yeah. Because you're not a clown fan at all.
Not a shark fan, not a clown fan.
Well, Lynn on Facebook has sent us a message as well, well. So, yeah. And then they're making a brand new version of that too. It's going to be even scarier with all the new sci-fi, what do you call it, the effects and everything.
No.
We'll sit you down and watch that, eh?
I'm out of there. I didn't even swim in a swimming pool without looking behind me because thinking there's a shark in the pool because it's Jaws. Siri, I'm not even lying. David, I know you're with me there. Thank you. Time at Triple M.
And he was down at the T20 All-Stars for Friday night at Harrah Park. So too was the creator of Bravehearts, Hetty Johnston. She's on the phone. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. How are you after, was a huge week, Friday last night, last week, I should say, and Thursday night, some great events happening in Mackay to benefit Bravehearts.
It's my favourite time of the year, can I tell you? I look forward to that. It's the second one now, and it's just lovely. Not only is Mackay lovely, but hanging out with those very special people is pretty remarkable, and all for such a great cause.
Let's just put it down to the real fact you're up here is because it's warmer than down south, right?
It's warmer, and I do love the cricket.
And we love supporting cricket as well. There were so many events happening last week. It was just crazy, a great selection of them as well. But with the cricket T20 Big Bash and, you know, the Baggy Blues taking on Dave, the Bulls, and look, money raised going towards a great cause, the Bravehearts. How is your foundation going in Mackay? Because I know that you're trying to set up an office here there, Hetty.
Yes, so we've established some relationships with the local people at the, I think it's the George Street Neighbourhood Centre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we'll be working on that in the coming months. Also, I mean, every childcare centre and school in Mackay has received the Ditto resource pack. We had a team ready to come up in May, but with the floods, we had to put that away. Mm. And so it's now happening in September. But we're really excited about it. We need a team for that central part of Queensland to be located somewhere there, and I can't think of a better place than Mackay. We have another one in Cairns, and that team in Cairns does right up to the Cape, Mount Townsville, over to Mount Isa in that area. But it actually does come down to Rockhampton and Mackay occasionally, but it's such a long way. So we have to get another team established in central Queensland, and we're looking at Mackay. So I'm really excited about it.
That's fantastic.
And Bravehearts is it's been going for a little while, but you're really starting to get a lot more people behind the whole campaign as well. Obviously, you've got the big match, the T20 All-Stars here in Mackay each year. But last night, we noticed on Ninja Warrior Australia, a young gymnast is one of your ambassadors wearing the shirt too.
Yeah. Little Larissa. Mm.
Yeah.
She's just a dynamite. That girl is just beautiful. She's an unbelievable young woman, young Australian. Went to the Olympics, so is going to go. She's competed all over the place. She's extraordinary. Got a heart of gold. She's a survivor, and she's doing everything she can to help Bravehearts to achieve what it needs to achieve, and that is to keep children safe and make Australia the safest place in the world to raise a child.
Yeah. She was so brave. She opened up about that on the TV show last night as well, by saying, you know, this is my story. And I thought that was a really brave thing. But hearing those stories for somebody who has been in that position or going through that position, it gives other people a voice to say, okay, I can fight this. I can, you know, find the help that I need.
Mm.
That's it. That's why we call Bravehearts, because it does take courage to speak out. You know, this is a very difficult thing, but what she's learned and what many, many thousands have now learned is that what happened to them is not their fault. Mm. They have nothing to be ashamed of, absolutely nothing. And so they're proud that they've survived. They're proud that they're using their experience to keep other kids safe. And so they should be. Larissa is somebody that every Australian should be incredibly proud of. She is just got the heart of gold, and she's such a fighter, and so she's so determined and passionate about this cause.
So well, look, great. Hetty, hopefully the Bulls Masters comes back once again next year, because it's just a great initiative, and we'd love to see it back here in Mackay, and yourself as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
If you're planning on getting some fast food for the game for State of Origin, okay, make sure you go through drive-thru, or maybe walk in. This is the thing that was on Facebook, okay? What's supposed to be served first?
On our page last night, you mean?
On the Facebook page, yeah. Triple M Mackay is where you find us. And who knows?
Well, we were trying to work this out yesterday. I went through a drive-thru recently with my partner.
Yeah.
And I thought drive-thru was meant to get first priority.
Yeah, sure, because it's nice and quick, you know. Yeah. They want to make as much money as possible.
Yep. In, out, gone.
Yeah.
Got your burgers, got your drinks, or whatever it is. But I was sitting at the drive-thru where I've already paid and I'm about to collect.
Yeah.
And it took forever.
And oh, some places are worse than others, aren't they?
God.
Yeah.
So then it took forever, and I'm sitting there, but I'm watching, I can see through to where people are ordering and collecting their food in store, like, you know, when they walk in. So this woman walks up to the counter, orders her food, waits about 2 minutes. I'm still at the window, mind you. I haven't been asked to park.
Yeah.
So, and then I thought, okay, so that's, she got her food. Where's, why are we wait? Jamie said, why are we wait? Why are we, that's a good question, Jamie. Why are we waiting here? This is a drive-through, right? Shouldn't we get first priority? Aren't we in and out?
Well, you'd,
that's
you'd,
what I thought.
You'd kind of think that, but there were other places that that I thought there was a rule of thumb within the company themselves is that, you know, we want to get people to walk into the store first. Okay, so...
So they don't have to have the bank of cars, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, that will actually keep their the drive-through waiting and actually serve people at the front counter first.
Interestingly, the question, as you say, we put on our Facebook page last night, and there's a lot of people saying the same thing. Drive-through is supposed to get priority. Somebody else is saying it depends on what you order.
Oh... Yeah, I can understand that, but look, 13-2017, can you help us out here? Because, you know, we want to know so we don't actually have to waste too much time, you know, because we want the food and we want it fast, don't we?
I'm just interested to find out. I want to know if there's a process. If you work in the fast food industry and you know the answer, Madonna on our Facebook page says, whoever gets in first.
Yeah, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear which one's quicker so we can actually get in there and get out again as quick as possible. Rebecca says it's drive-through most places, but it should be both. You should have enough staff to cover both. Yeah, good point, Rebecca, yeah.
That's another issue altogether. I've been at a place where the fast food person, I've walked into the shop and they've stopped my order to go and take the order of the drive-through person. At the window.
Ooh, blood boils on that one, yeah.
Hi, I parked my car and I got out and walked in here. You can take my order before you walk over there and take the drive-through.
All right, if you work at one of these fast food joints, no names. No. We don't want to hear about who it is and where they are.
Yeah.
What we want to know is it quicker to go through drive-through or is it quicker to walk in?
Or who gets priority?
Yeah, who gets the priority? 13-27-10. It's a public service.
I can tell you who should get priority. That's a drive-through. I'm just going to put it down now.
You're saying you should be the priority no matter what.
It's like the airport. You got one of those priority tickets, you get on the plane first, okay?
Oh, that'd be good, yeah. That'd be real good.
Not wait 20 minutes in the drive-thru. Amazing. I could have walked in there, made it myself and walked out.
Priority food.
Your call's up in just a moment. Tuesday morning, sun is shining, birds are chirping.
People are getting frustrated through drive-thru.
Oh, man, this would be a peak hour for a lot of them too, hey? One of those fast food joints.
Yeah, especially coffee.
Jane, Dave, Brecky at Triple M. We are just talking about when you go to drive through or you walk into a fast food joint. Let's face it, there's lots of them to choose from.
Yeah.
Who gets priority of being served, though? Is it when you drive in the drive through that you get VIP priority, or is it you have to walk into the store to get first customer service?
Well, it's gone gangbusters on Facebook as well. Triple M Mackay is where you find us on Facebook. So many different things. Joanne says she's proved it many times over. Drive through gets priority over walk in. Thanks for your call there, Joanne.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I've been in the drive through and I've seen people come up to while I'm waiting. Get their food and then they take off.
Yeah, well, that's true. Tim says drive-through managers at all stores usually are running drive-through, so they get what they want. So
wow, Tina is called Tina. Who gets priority? Is it drive-through or is it the customers that walk in?
Well, most of the fast food places have like a time, like they have the screen with the time on them, and a lot of those orders go to the back, so the back has the screen. So it's definitely like customer for customer. So it's basically in order of when they order.
Oh, so if you walk up to the counter, but then if I'm in the drive-thru at the same time, the person who gets to the counter first or to the speaker window first gets served first?
Yeah, well, I used to work at, it was called Big Rooster back then, but now Red Rooster, and that's how it used to work.
Right.
But that's like over 20 years ago. So, yeah, but you had a screen and both screens went to the kitchen and then the kitchen had to do the orders in the order that they do them.
Back in the day, they used to have the timer outside of the drive-through as well, so you could actually see how long it took them to make your order. Maybe what they need to do is take notes of the pit crews at the Townsville 400 and have staff that are like that, you know, like the pit crew, and get in there as quick as possible, get your order gone.
But people are in such a hurry now too, guys. So, you know, we're not patient. We expect things to be done, bam. So, yeah, we need to be more patient as well because they're only human behind the door.
I get that, but I just want my food fast. Okay?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's called fast food. It's not whenever
moderately
we get it.
Slow food.
Food, yeah.
Okay. I feel a challenge coming on here.
Oh, to put it to the test.
Let's put it to the test. We'll go out to an unsuspecting fast food joint over the next couple of days.
Sure.
One of us will walk in. One of us will go through drive-through at the same time.
Yeah.
And we'll see who gets their order first. Just to put it, we won't name which establishment we're going to or whatever.
And we won't name the time either, but I think we've got to do it in peak time.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yep. And see how long it takes us to get our food.
Okay. Challenge.
Done.
Accepted.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there's no prize
like
for the winner.
I feel like I'm on A Current Affair, you know, the undercover things that they do.
You got to have the handbag with the undercover camera.
And next week we'll do an expose on the detergent that you use for washing. Do you nominate me for another award? I got to ask you this question. Legit.
Look, I was tempted to, I must admit. I know the one you're talking about. But yes. but I don't know if I actually did or not. I can't remember, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yesterday I received an email from the LGBTI. I know we spoke about this a lot last year.
Yeah.
Award in Sydney and for best broadcaster, blah, blah, blah. And it was nice. And then yesterday I got another email from Elliot, who was from the organisation, saying, you've received 7 nominations for awards. And then I thought, that's a lot of nomination.
Yeah.
And then I said, can you tell me who, you know, by law, apparently they're not allowed to do that.
I don't believe that for a second, but okay, that's their own rules. I don't believe it.
Why? Well, I can understand why they can't, because if you don't want people to know...
Yeah.
That, you know, it's anonymous, and then that's...
Yeah, if you decide to say, look, I want to stay anonymous, that's fine. You know, you can actually do that, but just... outright saying, no, they can't do it. I don't believe that for a second. So I think that's just an internal rule.
You don't know if you did or not?
Yeah, well, look, it was that long ago that I can't remember because the nominations, I saw the nominations come out.
Well, they only just opened up like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't me then. Sorry.
I thought it was for sure because somebody mentioned, I just put it on my Facebook page yesterday.
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, you know, maybe it was Dave. And I just thought I'd ask you because last year you said to check with you again next year if you did or not.
Yeah. So, normally, I would have, but I didn't realise they were open 3 weeks ago.
I didn't really realise it was worthy of 7 nominations. So whoever the people are, thank you so much for the nominations. It doesn't mean... like, it's nice, but it's not the reason why we do this job for any awards, really.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I don't want to blow smoke up your tailpipe.
But continue.
Just get your coffee.
Let me just get my coffee.
Yeah, okay.
I'm
not going to blow smoke up you, but you do a fantastic job for those that may be struggling with either their sexuality or coming out.
It's a bloody hard thing to do, I can tell you.
But at the same time, it's not about just being LGBTI.
No.
Okay? It's about being a person on air helping others.
But that's the reason why we do it. And just take away the LGBTI awards nominations. Like, we've, in commercial radio, we have these things called the ACRAs, the Australian Commercial Radio Awards.
Yeah.
Last year we were up for one, and, I mean, that was nice, but we don't come to work every day going, well, today I'm going to do it because I want an ACRA award, or today we're going to do it because we want a North Queensland Multimedia Award. We don't do it for that.
No.
It's not that at all.
No. Yeah. And you find people in the industry like that, and with any industry, really, you know, they just want to win awards all the time, you know. And they gear themselves up towards making the best award possible. Mm. They may fudge a few things as well in the process.
Yeah.
But at least we're real.
Well, it's March next year.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't go down to the one this year, down to the Opera House. Are you going to go next year?
Well, I think you should. I'm intimidated. I really am. Okay, this is legitimate. I'm intimidated by it all because you've got people like, well, this year awards, they had Magda Szubanski, they had Ruby Rose, they had like Molly Meldrum, all these sort of big names. And then you're like a small fish in a big pond. And then, so I get nervous about that sort of stuff. And I'm like, I watch live from home. Like, they stream it live. So I just watch it. I was eating a bag of popcorn with Jamie watching it.
Look, that's a nice way to go, isn't it?
It's nice.
In bed eating popcorn.
No, hang on. And the minute the nominations came up for my section, I didn't win. I'm like, oh, okay, turn it off.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you should go. Yeah. I think you should.
I'll think about it.
So. Because the way I see this, you could pull off the Stephen Bradbury of the century. Like, seriously.
Oh, so you're calling me the underdog here?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
You, okay. No, hang on a second. You, you did that yourself, okay? You're saying Madga Szubanski was in there. It
she was.
Ruby Rose was there.
They were.
You know, some of them were really good. Like, what was her name from Channel 10? From the
Fuzzy. DJ Fuzzy.
Yeah. So, you know, you're up against broadcasters like that, you know, with a well-known name and everything. Then you got you. You could. They could all fall over on the last turn, and you just skate on past.
I just want the trophy. If I don't win, I'll just go out and buy a trophy and grab it myself. Hey, look what I won. Put on my mantelpiece.
What a pair of headphones. Gold headphones.
Go straight to the pool room. Thank you for the nomination. Whoever nominated me, it was nice, and that's probably the last time you'll hear about it today. Jane Dave for breakfast.